Hey everybody, this is Tony with the Grounded Podcast, and today we're talking about the Dirty Dozen and Clean 15 and a few things in between, and also a couple of extra fruit and veggie that falls more along the lines of the in-between category. Now, sometimes people say that, the produce that we buy from stores or farmers market or wherever we may get our produce from is a bit pricey, and I don't think that's necessarily true. I think that we've become accustomed to produce being cheaper, or thinking that it should be cheaper because of frankenfoods and fake foods that have been out there for years that have diluted the more or less real food that's out there, that whether or not, like I said, we're getting from the grocery store or we're getting from the farmer's market or possibly growing for ourselves to sell to restaurants and other establishments. And artificially they may seem to be inflated a bit, but I don't think fruit and vegetables really are inflated. Now, that's just my personal opinion on that fact. But with that being said, when we go out and we're buying fruits and vegetables, any kind of produce, we look at the prices on them and we're thinking, okay, maybe I should get conventional over just the organically grown fruit and veg. But with that being said as well, I think that sometimes this can have an effect on the farmers, those growing the fruits and veg, and this is really hurting their bottom line, because a lot of the farmers are already in such a state of debt, and they really are operating on a very slim margin as it is. So when we have these prices that are constantly pushed down and they're not getting their value for fruit and veg, it just really sets the precedent for something that isn't sustainable for, not necessarily for, well, not only for the farmers, but for just the public in general. So with that being said, we can go out and buy cheaper fruit and veg. Now, with that being said, along the lines of farmers, they also are being affected, like I said, and they are really, really trying to operate, like I said, on very, very thin margins. And when we go out and buy these fruit and veggies and we buy them at a cheaper price, it's not helping them whatsoever. So I'm just going to jump into the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15. Now, the dirty here are starts off with strawberries, and this is, and although these are grown in a cooler climate, depending on where you are and, depending on your USDA growing zone, these fruit are heavily sprayed with pesticides. So, this can be a fruit that we can buy organically. And just to keep in mind, a lot of the fruits and vegetables that we buy, a lot of the farmers, they aren't necessarily certified organic, but they are practicing practices that are in line in with, said phrase, organically growing them in that particular way. So, it's really, hard to determine, because I think for the most part it takes 5 to 10 years, depending on where you are in the stateside or the world, to have that label of organic, and it takes sometimes thousands of dollars to get to that to that point. So a lot of the farmers, they don't have, like I said, those margins to go along with that. So they are growing these fruit and veg in a way that's organic, whether it's permaculture practices, practicing food forests, growing their veg, or just the way that they are treating the soil and just everything within their environment. So this is a really good place to start. Just go to your farmer's market, talk to the local farmer, and see exactly what they're doing to grow and how they're growing their produce. And this is a good way, and this can be real indicative of, you know, what they possibly will do and how they interact with you. And sometimes, just as in a little aside, you know, if you go to the farmer's market towards maybe the end of when that farmer's market is being ran, time, say if they say, like in my area, we have several farmer's markets, but one of the main ones, which is downtown, they operate from about 9 to about 2 o'clock p.m. So, you know, if you go around 1-2 o'clock when they're getting ready to start loading up and getting ready to leave back, you know, you can get some very cheap produce, and you can take that, a lot of that produce, off of those local farmers' hands at a discounted or a cheaper price. But they don't go back with that produce, and they don't have to load it up. They can sell it. They can, you know, off it, you know, into your hands, and you can take it home. And this can be, you know, this can help not only the farmer out, but yourself as well, if you're looking for these cheaper prices. Now, I only say that because this helps them out, because they were probably going to, they were probably going to either eat that themselves, toss it away. They would have had no profit at all. So getting some profit for their produce is a great idea, really. And but like I said, if you can go and support them and pay full price at the very beginning, that's probably more ideal. But if you're, say, running late, or you're trying to get cheaper prices, or you can't really afford that organically grown produce, that's a good way to support them. They don't have to do the laborious job of just, you know, loading that produce back up and taking it back to their farm. So back to strawberries. Strawberries are one of the heavily sprayed produce that is, like, just filled with pesticides. I mean, it's more than any person should consume, if any at all. Now, I've recently read Silent Spring by Rachel Carlson, and that's a great book. It's been out since the 60s, but it's a great book, and it's been updated as of late. But this is a great book telling us, you know, how this affects us, you know, pesticides and this, you know, these different types of produce, how it affects our bodies, minds, just everything. It's just a really great book, and that's definitely a recommended book. And that's going to be in the next episode of the Grounded Podcast. We're talking about the gardening books, things I've been reading, the books I've been reading over the course of the wintertime, and just really getting into the feel of this new season we're coming upon here, as we're at the very beginning of spring. Now, another veggie that is heavily sprayed with pesticides is spinach. Now, this also is a cool weather crop. It's a cooler weather crop, especially depending on where you are. Like in my area, you know, spinach usually doesn't last any longer before it starts to bolt until the end of April. And right now, I'm almost at the very, very beginning of April. So this is something that we really want to stay, you know, keep our eyes peeled for, you know, when we're growing our veggies, where we're growing them. And, you know, like I said, the USDA, it has a huge USDA growing zone. It has a huge effect on what we can grow and where we can grow it, and how long that actual season for that veggie will grow. So like I said, it depends on where you are. You know, certain pesticides may not be as heavy as in others. So this is also something. So this streamlined Dirty Dozen Clean 15 list isn't necessarily covers everyone's zone everywhere, and it doesn't affect everyone the same way. So this is something that we really want to jump into researching what's grown in our area and what our farmers are doing in our particular area. Now, what I've found to be so funny with a lot of these veggies, which is the next veggie I'm going to cover, or veggies, it's kind of like in the leafy green family. It's our kale, collards, and mustard greens. And these are some of the vegetables too that are grown with a lot of heavy pesticides. And what I've noticed about a lot of these fruit and veggie is that they are really regularly included in smoothies and wellness drinks and green smoothies. And if you have these heavily sprayed pesticide fruit and veg, they can have an effect on you when you are, because what you're basically doing is you're consuming these pesticide heavily laden veg in a really condensed manner. So this will have a greater effect on you, especially if you're having maybe two or more of these smoothies per day. Now, another fruit on this list of the dirty are nectarines, and these are great. And I just think about, I thought about years ago about how my children, they love nectarines, little small nectarines, and they're eating these on a regular basis throughout the day, and I love seeing that. And and this is one of the things that I just look at, and it's just, I'm like, what effect this is going to have on them, 10, 20 years from now. And a lot of these fruit and veg, they will have a effect on them. We're seeing some of the effects from things that we ate in the 80s and 90s, especially in the 90s when GMOs were heavily introduced and spraying became really the thing to do to get rid of pests instead of more bacterial way of treating them. Just an aside on that as well, bacterial pest control is far better, and it's a natural way of getting the pests under control, and it's more targeted to whatever pests you may have. Say like for me, I use BT, and and I use it sparingly throughout the summer season at the height of when I have the vine borers come in. And the moth flies around in the morning and they lay these eggs at the base of the squash plants. And it's like a little amber colored egg. And they come in and they lay these eggs, and then these eggs hatch, and the larvae, buries down into the stem and it eats it from the inside out. And then you have these wilted squash plants, and they look really, really bad. And then they eventually, the plant will collapse and die. So spraying with BT, which is a bacterial, it's for that particular, whether it's a worm or that particular larvae, it affects just that. And it doesn't, hurt any of the other pests, and it doesn't hurt us either, because that's not a bacteria that will affect us whatsoever. And the studies, for probably the last 30 plus years has absolutely confirmed that over and over again. So it doesn't hurt the pollinators, it just targets just that one. And like I said, bacteria based sprays will help with combating the pests that you have. And what I like about BT is that it really affects everything that's on the tomatoes, corn, and squash, which is great because those all, you know, because you have the hornworms, it affects those as well. So it really is targeted to a certain group of pests, and it doesn't go outside that certain area of pests that you're trying to control. So it's very targeted. You spray it sporadically, once in, you know, here and there, once in a while, and it just really, you know, gets down to what your problem is, and you don't want to spray this all over the place. Another great thing is neem oil as well. Spraying on maybe certain flowers, at the base of certain flowers, and really getting that on and in there. And that's another topic for another day, because I could go down a whole rabbit hole on that. But with that being said, we're going to jump right into apples. Apples, I have, you know, several apple trees. And this, you know, me doing a food forest and practicing permaculture principles, this has really, really, you know, pushed me in the area of planting my own fruit trees and, you know, creating this whole ecosystem where everything is working in tandem together. And it's like a whole symphony of the natural world out there. And I love the way this has really bared down on just focusing on the natural world. Now, grapes are another thing. And I don't grow grapes here because they don't grow as well, and it takes a little bit of effort, but these are another fruit that is heavily sprayed with pesticides. And then we have cherries. Cherries are another fruit that are heavily sprayed. And like I said, a lot of these fruit and veg are thrown into smoothies on a regular basis. And then we have peaches. Now, peaches are another one that's, you know, thrown into smoothies. You can pretty much throw any fruit and veggie into a smoothie. Even as of late, ginger and turmeric has been thrown into a lot of smoothies as a cure-all to help with inflammation issues and just overall ginger and ginseng as well. But these are things that have been thrown into to help with a number of ailments. But like I said, what I was talking about with peaches are, you know, I'm in Georgia, and Georgia is the peach state, so we have pretty much peaches everywhere, and this is a huge thing here. And because of our summers, because of them being so hot and humid, and they are just really, really, the pests are just out of control during certain times of the year, even when you have a working ecosystem. You know, I have a lot of dragonflies, which are great because they naturally take care of mosquitoes in the area. And I love seeing dragonflies because I know that they're doing their job. They're working within my ecosystem that I've created within my food forest area. Now, peaches, like I said, you know, there's a certain time of year where, you know, here, especially in 8B in my area, which it feels like some, you know, year after year is getting closer to 9A, but, you know, I, you know, we stop gardening usually around August, and we start planting the things, for the fall season, because that's more of a, you know, that's a better time to actually get out and start planting some things and planning, and the ground is still warm, but then you start having that slide into September and, you know, into late September where the temperatures are starting to cool down. You know, we don't have those, you know, days where there are, you know, upper 90s with humidity, and, you know, maybe possibly storms coming through all of a sudden. Going into the fall season, which is usually, you know, around the middle of September. So this is really something that I love to do, you know, because like I said, the ground is still warm, but yet it's getting cooler. So these crops can start to sprout and start to grow, and then they don't have to worry about the humidity and most importantly the pests. So you don't have to do much of any spraying with any natural organically derived sprays like BT or neem oil, things like that, or trying to use pepper sprays to you know, in your garden, ward off a lot of these pests. Now, another fruit in this area, which is really big, is pears. Pears are heavily sprayed with pesticides, so this is something that we want to, you know, and like I said, all of these fruit and veg, if you're going to buy organic, these are the ones that you want to focus on buying organically or buying from your farmer's market in a way that in which they have grown these fruit and veg in an organic way. There's also bell and hot peppers that are heavily sprayed. This is another one that we want to make sure that we're buying organically. And when you're limiting your list to just these fruit and veg, this will help with keeping your cost down if you can't afford certain produce or buying all of your produce organically or that's grown in a sustainable and maintainable way. Celery is also another one that is a veg that, you know, you want to buy organically or buy from your farmer's market, whatever, you know, however you're buying. You know, I would rather buy from a local grower that has sustainable practices, that maybe not necessarily has grown or is certified organic, but grows in a way, like I said, including the soil and just the entire environment. And this also applies to any other, maybe chickens or livestock, anything like that. You know, the way they're making their cheese, milk, any of that. You know, how are they treating the animals? How are they treating the soil? You know, that whole environment. Tomatoes, which is a huge fruit. Some people call it a veggie. It's actually a fruit, but you know, I'm pretty sure everybody at this point knows that tomatoes are actually a fruit, not a veggie, because it's right in that same family with bell peppers, which are also considered a veggie, but they are, you know, as I know most of us probably already know, these are actually fruit, but you know, we've gotten to the habit of calling them veggies. But these are the dirty fruit and veggies that, you know, and the only reason they're called dirty is because they are heavily sprayed conventionally. They're heavily sprayed with pesticides, and these have the highest amount of pesticides. And this list is up to date with as of like 3 or 4 days ago, because I wanted to get the latest information on, you know, said veggies, because or fruit, because these lists slightly change from year to year depending on weather, climate, conditions. So if you've got a list from, say, even 2 years ago, that list might be slightly out of date. Now, with that being said, a lot of these veggies stay on this list because they are consistently and constantly a problem throughout all USDA gardening zones throughout the United States and, you know, for the most part, throughout the world. Now, let's jump into the Clean 15. These are the fruit and veg that you can grow and that are grown without the use of pesticides, or they have very little if you're growing them, or if they're being grown in a conventional way. Now, I would like to convince everyone to start growing their own fruit and veg. Start with herbs, tomatoes, things like that, things that are easier to grow, and then really expand from there. But the first, one of the first things that I would say is a fruit, which is a avocado, which sometimes is also known or, you know, referred to as a veggie, but it's actually a fruit. And you know, avocados are heavily included into smoothies, specifically green smoothies. Now, sweet corn is another thing. In sweet corn, you know, and you have to be careful with sweet corn because I get all my corn. I grow my own corn myself, but you have to be really careful with corn, even with buying it from farmers markets and other, and especially mostly in stores, because most corn, like 99% of corn, soybeans, and you know, things in that range of things that are grown are GMO, and that's because of mostly because of Monsanto and you know, them buying up seed companies and them putting their, anyway, that's a whole nother story for another day. But sweet corn, I would say, probably is one of the things I would personally grow at home in my garden to really, really reap the benefits. And there's so many different kinds and types of corn. And I buy my seeds from Baker Creek Heirloom. They're one of the few, if only, maybe out of maybe two or three companies that I know of. There may be more out there, but that I know of that I've thoroughly, fully researched that have non-GMO seeds, and you can save seed from those. And I would think that that will probably be the best way to go. Now, pineapple is another thing, another fruit that's really great to have in smoothies. It's included in smoothies, and this is something that we want to buy in an organic way. Now, pineapples, they are really, really hard to find organic pineapples, depending on where you are. I know in my area, it's really hard to find pineapples that are organic. So, you know, try maybe finding them maybe in organic, and then try to maybe grow it yourself. You know, I've done this myself, and this works out pretty well. Onions are really big and really huge here, and they are one of the ones that you want to buy organically. Now, with that being said, anything that is a root vegetable is, you know, people think, oh, what, isn't that, you know, isn't the main part that you eat under the ground? Of course, you know, we have the green onions where we cut off the tops and we eat the green onions, like scallions and things like that. But for the most part, onions, you know, anything that has a root and it's grown commercially or conventionally, it will take up, especially if that soil hasn't been taken care of and it's hasn't been degraded, or it has been degraded, it takes up all of those pesticides that are in the ground and under the ground. So I prefer raised beds, and that's what I use. I know, you know, large scale farmers can't do that, or even a small farm can't do that, because what's initially happening is that when you plant those roots, what are they doing? They're taking up nutrients. And there have been some studies in areas of Russia and in other parts of the area of the world as well, that they have grown carrots and certain produce just to pull some of the pesticides out of the ground, because it was starting to get to the point to where the ground wasn't able to be grown in a proper way. So they would take those certain crops, like carrots, mostly root, beets, things like that, onions, and anything that grows under the ground, sweet potatoes, things like that, and they would take those and they would you know, plant those to pull the pesticides out of the ground. So that whole root is now a pesticide laden crop that was being fed to certain people. So this is, you know, this, I can't even believe that is even allowed. But, you know, in certain places, of course, you know, the standards on, you know, in the USDA is not there overseeing a lot of this. And of course, you know, the USDA here is not the greatest as well, as far as managing and maintaining this, because of what they're allowing in our food chain. such as Frankenfoods and, you know, fake foods throughout the years, especially starting from the early 90s of moving up until today. So to get off that soapbox for a while, papayas is also, and it's one of the more tropical fruit that we want to really pay attention to. And it, like I said, sometimes, and now these are easier to find than pineapple, but we want to really jump into getting a lot of these. What I've noticed too is a lot of fruit that has thick skins, they aren't heavily sprayed with pesticides, I guess because of the thick skins, and because that skin can be taken off and thrown off. But we have to think that these are fruit, all of these, you know, produce, this veg, they are taking that in inside. So that kind of negates that a little bit. But, you know, such as, like, example, a banana, which is one of those in-between fruit, you can peel that skin off because it's, you know, it's sprayed on the outside. So you can peel that papaya, you can peel that skin off, pineapple for the most part, you can peel that skin off. So these are not sprayed as heavily, but, you know, finding fruit and veg in this in the tropical realm is sometimes difficult depending on where you are, and sometimes it's very easy. In California, I know a lot of these fruit and veg are easier to find because they're either they have the extremely compatible climate to grow a lot of these fruit and veg in, and it's just they don't have these harsh temperatures and these hot, humid climates that maybe I have here in 8B Georgia. But it's something to really look at. Then we have sweet peas, which I found that sweet peas are great and they don't need to be sprayed because they are a cooler season crop, and they don't have, as far as I know, very many natural pests as far as I've seen here in this area. Of course, there's certain kinds of mildew and, you know, viruses that will get them if they're getting too wet, and, you know, because they, you know, because of, you know, snow peas, sweet peas, things like that. You know, snow peas is indicative of when it, you know, as early as you can plant it, you know, when snow is, you know, still maybe possibly in the area, sweet peas. So sweet peas, and, you know, some people say frozen. I see if you're growing it in your own backyard, you don't have to worry about frozen. You can grow these yourself, you can manage, and I know here in my area I can grow them as early as the end of February, and March and April are when they really come to their max, when they're producing the most during that time. Usually around the end of April going into May is when they'll start to, you know, die back because the heat starts to come on. So, but frozen, you can buy sweet peas, snow peas, snap peas frozen if you're buying them from the store. But if you have them in the backyard, or if you're buying from a farmer's market and they have those organic practices, then you can buy them fresh. Eggplants is another one. You know, they have the thick skin, but they don't have a whole host of pests as well. And this is right, goes back into that family of tomatoes and peppers. And asparagus also, their spring crop, they, you know, it's cooler when they're grown and they come out. So this is something that you can grow, and this is, I love perennial veg because they can keep coming back up to, you know, 10, 12 years or more. Broccoli, another cool season crop, which is why I don't think they have as much pests, and they're not sprayed as much, and they don't have as many pests. Cabbage also falls into that category, and this is all in the Clean 15. And then we have kiwi, which is also another tropical fruit. And because of the skin, I'm thinking because of the skin, that tan, hairy skin that you can peel off. This may be another reason why this is not heavily heavily sprayed with pesticides, if at all. And then there's cauliflower, which is also a cool season crop, you know, and the same for that goes for what I was talking about with broccoli and cabbage, and then mushrooms as well. You know, because of the way they're grown, you know, inoculated on wood, or the way they're grown, they don't have as many pests, and they just don't have to be sprayed in the same manner, because things just don't find them all that appealing. And you know, I'm going to do a deep dive into mushrooms later on in the season, and like I said, the second course of episodes will be announced following this episode. So we jump into honeydew melon, which is also falls into, you know, more of a tropical fruit. Honeydew, it also has that thick skin as well. And we have cantaloupe, which also falls into this category, also has a thick skin as well, and it doesn't have to be sprayed as much with pesticides. Now, that was the actual end of the official Clean 15, but let's jump into just a plus, a few extras. So there are mangoes, which are also a tropical fruit as well, and it also has that thick skin. This is another, one that can be grown and isn't usually traditionally grown with as much pesticides, or if any, as those on the the Dirty Dozen list. And then there's watermelon, which is a huge fruit in this area. Also has that thick rind that we're looking for. And a lot of the produce in this, especially fruit in this area, we can really bear down on and really pay attention to, and just the way it grows. And we don't have to worry about the same thing as, say, the squash, or, you know, tomatoes with the hornworms and vine borers and things like that, because they're pretty much self sustaining, and you don't have to really do too much of anything, except for make sure it's regularly watered, and you know, you keep that initial fruit off the ground to keep it from, you know, rotting and things like that. So there's not a lot, but like I said, I'm gonna dive deep into a lot of these fruit and veggies in another episode later on this season of the Grounded Podcast. And then there are sweet potatoes, which are huge in this area. They love a long warm summer. Sweet potatoes are absolutely great, and they grow underground. Now, these necessarily don't translate to, because as far as I can see, they don't have as many pests as the other, or they don't have to be sprayed like the other fruit and veggie, or the other root veggies, like say carrots or onions, you know, beets, anything that grows underground, turnips, all, you know, everything in that same family area. But I would say that this is probably one of the best lists that has come out in years, because it's really doubled down on, you know, what's best to buy organically, what's, you know, what you can get away with buying conventionally, especially if you're getting from a farmer, from the farmer's market, that is growing in a organic way, but they're technically conventional, but they have these sustainable practices, whether, like I said, it's dealing with soil, or it's dealing with environment, how they're treating their livestock, just their whole way of farming and gardening. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Grounded Podcast. There will be more episodes coming on a weekly basis. I haven't settled on an exact date. I was thinking maybe Sundays for the episodes to come out, but it'll be anywhere between Friday and Sunday that these episodes will come out. And of course, before every episode comes out, we'll have meditative moments, a little short episode right before the episode. Whenever you see that episode come out, you know that within a day or two, the main episode for the Grounded podcast will be coming out very soon afterwards. So the best way to keep abreast of everything, to know when I have episodes popping up on a weekly basis, is just to subscribe, share, and tell all your friends about it. Please, please do that so that we can continue to go up in the ratings and we can, you know, really be seen on all the platforms out there. Well, this has been Tony with the Grounded Podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode today, and I will see you guys on the next episode. Bye-bye.